In the feeling of stillness, allow things to arise. So out of compassion and wisdom, or maybe there's no effect whatsoever, but you know that you are caring for the body. However the body is, there's the bodiness, and there that which knows, which has a different quality and feels larger. Now focus on here-ness, that you're here. And when you feel that any degree, smile. I'm here in this experience, in this room, here now. Stay with this experience, whatever it is. I'm on body myself, and I'm having all these different body experiences. They're not dramatic in any way, but I am understanding them in terms of the, and it matters less what the experience is and more the feeling of being present. Don't go having thoughts, just be present. So if a sensation is strong enough, or some emotion is strong enough, then you bring your attention to it. But you're just being present. That capacity of knowing is just being present, if that's what you're using, or the body. If a thought about something comes, just recognize the thoughtness as opposed to what the thought. Even if it's a juicy thought, it's temporarily in the forefront, then falls to the back. From this participant observer, see if you can feel, hear, taste the silence amidst all this sound. A feeling of awakeness. If you start to wander off, bring the breath back to the foreground and hold it there for a while till the mind gets stronger, more stable. And then go back to return to this feeling of this open awareness. Just being in the moment. Just hanging out there. It's not that easy to do. She must be meaning to rest. He's finally taken a moment so I can be creative. This requires patience and practice. Two of the paramis of the Buddha, these attainments of the Buddha. The Buddha had great patience. Great resolve. So I want to do a little movement now of just to, again, this felt sense of movement. So hands up, again, a hand up. So open and close the hand a little way, not so much. So just start saying out loud what you're noticing. We're all going to join in. We're saying out loud together. Spread. Okay, now just next time the hand opens, start to move the arm in space and keep talking about and just rest it. Rest it on your thigh or somewhere where it's really. Now notice if there's a difference in how the one arm feels in the. And now notice that the whole body is fairly still. If so, what does that feel like? What would be possibilities? Softness, acceptance, spaciousness. These are all qualities that might open up. A vulnerability that's not uncomfortable. So, there comes the question about what matters, because one can get into this big thinking and the little things don't matter. And yet we do want to show up for the little things. We want to show up for our friends. We want to show up for our family. we want to do our duties and all. But in this inner experience of it is different than the surface experience of showing up in the roles that we play in our lives. And so, in what way is this different? It's like the vision is more distant. It's more, it's larger vision that of what does it mean to be a human being, and without the concept of it, but just what is the felt sense of what it is to be a human being in a given moment, like right now? What is this? What's this really like? What is the largest way that I can know this? What's available? What does it feel like to be available just now? Is that larger capacity of being for doing, for creating? Or be? And we're alive. We're here. We're now. And that is enough. That is enough. And from that, we get renewed. And from that renewed space, we take care of the children. And we stand up for what we believe in. And we care for those who need caring. And we earn a living. And so forth. We don't have to be in this contracted doing self. He's talked about the advantage of the other and how they've loved the times they felt like this and everything. And then there is in relation to being present for whatever the human experience is, which one can just simply rest in the not knowing of what it is, but wanting to show up for it and let it reveal itself as best it can. Eliot says, we must be still and still moving. We must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion. We must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion. And then he includes the scariness of life, the uncertainty of life, all the loss of life, through the dark, cold, and empty desolation. The wave cry, the wind cry, the vast waters of the petrel and the porpoise. We must be still and still moving. Must in what sense of must? Must as in responding to the human capacity. Not must as somebody saying, if you believe this, you will do this, you know, or this is. It's a personal, universal, so personal, impersonal response to what we are. It's at that level that we're showing up. And it's at that level then that we get to choose. And we get to choose in spite of or in the ease of, depending on what we're responding to and what our situations are. So you get up in the morning and you don't make that much money and your body's sore and you respond because you're taking care of yourself and someone else. And you get up and do it, but you do it from this bigness. Although your conditions don't feel very big. Your conditions feel small. They feel contracted. But you are involved in something larger you can actually touch. You're involved in this capacity in this way. And it makes such a difference. Do you hold it throughout the day if you don't like your job? Not likely. But you can come back to it repeatedly. You're in a relationship that you know, for whatever reason, you're staying in it, but it's not a relationship that's really working very well. We get smaller and more pulled in and more dreading, or, no, I have this capacity, I know this, I have this integrity of myself, and for reasons that maybe I'm wrong, but I'm choosing to stay in this or I think I don't have any choice but to stay in it, at least for now, for someone's sake, mine or someone else in some way. I can have my dignity, I can have my integrity, even in unpleasant circumstances. We don't have to have the inner experience that always matches the difficult outer experience. There's much more room than that. What gives us that is our spirit, if you like that word. That's the spiritual path, if you like this word spirit. What gives us that is love, if you like that word. Again, not choosing words for you. So as we move through life and with this larger capacity, we see more clearly and we're more able to choose non-suffering over suffering. I mean, we really can do this. Just as we are, this is not the new improved version of you. We spend too much of our time waiting for our new improved version to show up. So when we start as we are, and again, this came up in one of the group, we start as we are. So if when you're practicing meditation and the sleepy one is doing the meditation, then who practices meditation is the sleepy one. That's okay. If it's the restless one, that's who practices meditation. The one that says, I can't do this at all. I should I should go take up ping pong or something. That person, the discontented one, practices meditation. And we welcome them out of our compassion, because the one who feels like they should just go play ping pong, which they might be right about, by the way, as an addition, they too need the meditation. They need the medicine of meditation. The first noble truth is a diagnosis of a disease. The second noble truth is saying what's the cause of the disease. And then the fourth noble truth is saying this is the medicine for the disease. And the third noble truth is the prognosis for how it will turn out. This is age old. That's not mine at all. That's age old. So this be still and still moving in this way. So now let's close our eyes again. We're going to do one more little meditation. And this is the radiating metta, where we don't use words at all. It's from the, I think it's Majjhima number 31 for those of you, but I may have that wrong. But it's in the Majjhima Nikaya, in which the Buddha talks, gives these instructions about allowing the metta to radiate out in all directions. So we start with a reflection of our goodness, of our honest aspiration in terms of ourselves and others, no matter how well we're doing with it, that we do have kindness within us, even if it's far from perfect kindness. This stillness. And now bring that stillness into the heart. Again, slightly to the right of the physical heart. And let the goodness, the friendliness, the kindness, the caring, the appreciation, the willing to help, all that we have known in any time and anywhere in our lives, let this metta start to radiate out to all that's in front. Friendness to all those in front. Now, I don't mean just in this room. As far as front goes, this relatedness, this being part of, not separate, despite our various separate characteristics, it is in that separateness and the joined that the metta from my sit bones up to the top of my head, I feel the stillness out. It's flowing. I'm not pushing it out. It's just flowing to all that's in front. All of the work I've ever done in caring for me, friendly, well-wishing, giving the benefit of the doubt. Allow that to keep going. And now make a quarter turn of your intention from the very center of the heart, and the whole body's getting filled with this, of course. The first quartile of the body, although that's in the front. Friendliness to all those on the right. Caring, well-wishing, smiling. Standing aside for. Cheering on the right. To all those on the right, the recipients of this flowing metta. Still and still moving. Don't worry about, am I doing it right? Just keep inviting the heart to. It doesn't look a certain way. It doesn't feel a certain way. It feels the way it is to you just now. That's how it looks just now. Metta, metta, to all those on the right. And now to all that's behind, making yet another quarter of turn. So the metta's flowing to the front, to the right. And now all those behind us, this well-wishing, this friendliness, this receptivity, this appreciation, this great sympathy for each person in the human condition. Well-wishing as they make their way. This is up from the rocks and flows down the hills. All of those now to the left, making yet this other quarter turn, so that all those on the left are receiving this radiating metta, radiating out from the center of the heart space, opening without conditioning, not checking first, but opening out. Just as the water flows down the hill, not based on who stands at various places along its path, but it's available to all. From maybe the still center. And now for all those that are below, this large globe that we sit on, may all those that below be the recipients of this kindness. Now open this metta flowing to all those above. Friendliness, caring, showing up, being willing to witness, carrying the truth of human experience from this space of caring, back, left, below, above, metta flowing in this multidimensional sphere. At the heart of it, the heart, is the stillness. That's not a personality. That's not a thing. It's like a field of awareness. And what radiates out is some degree of this. And of course, our whole body now is filled from below. This awareness. And let the words go, the imaging going. So for myself, I can feel quiet, like it was an object. It's palpable in a sense, this inner. The stillness is there, for me at least. The quiet and the stillness are like together. Your experience can be so, so, so different. It's the showing up for it. Energetic experience to this kind of practice, of meditating practice. And by energetic, I mean what you feel in the body is energy. And so let your eyes be relaxed. And all people strain their eyes. I did this years in when I was a Raja Yogi, and people do too much. It's the little bit of movement that releases tension, not a big movement, because a big movement, then you're tensing to move it. But a little movement's okay. So you can have the eyes open or closed. And first, just take the eyes up a little. Eyes open if you want to have them open. Center and pause. Center and pause. A very gentle up through the center, down. Now very gently on the diagonal, to the diagonal, to the right. Eyes to the upper left. Knowing stillness and knowing movement. Feeling the movement of our eyes. Likewise, the heart does not have to be hard. It can be softened, as we've seen. In the stillness, eyes, and let that go. And then just move your body around for a moment. Just move it around. Just open your face, open your eyes. Just move. Just like... Okay. Now just move your pelvis and let your chest and shoulders be relaxed. Just move your pelvis for a moment. Whatever way, front, back, just, and let that go. And now just move the rib cage. And then shoulders a little up and down, up and down, up and down. And then the arms shaking a little, shaking off any tension in the hands. So we're going to end the day with, we'll have a little short just appreciation at the end, but this is another time for questions or comment about experience, or again, in reference to our time together, not in reference to a retreat thing, but any of the references that were made in terms of... Well, I don't have an opinion about that. I was given... So he was wanting to know about just infusing the citta, which I'm not going to try to explain, versus the radiating metta. I'm doing the radiating metta as opposed to using the words, because so many people have struggled with the words that I now try to balance out using words, using phrases, and using the just the radiating metta, and all of it, and really. Insight about real insight also infuses the chit. That's all. It would be a construct to go beyond that, but that's why I do what I do. That's a wonderful experience for you. Wow! And sorry about that loss of story, but then it is boring, isn't it? In one sense, this is one of the great things that we discover in meditation. Is that boring? It's truly boring, but it's just boring. It's not more. So I used to sit all these 6-week and 3-month retreats. I did them for years, every fall for years. And one year, it was an explosive time where I had one indescribable experience after another, and this had gone on for weeks. And I really thought it was really one of the more meaningful times in that way. And then it all stopped. No big insights, no altered realities, no super, incredible concentration experiences. It just all stopped. And it stopped for days and days. If you had asked me what I was feeling, I would have said bored. But what I wanted to do was sit. But what I was feeling was bored. And I just sat there. There was nothing going on. Because why? Because of just what you described. I was just there in the middle. I wasn't leaning anywhere. There was no... And so it was boring. But it was also so satisfying in some way. It had to be for me to want to keep doing it. And I would just sit for hours, just hours, with nothing going on. And ordinarily, that would not be, I could not do that without practicing. I wasn't practicing. Nothing was going on. I was just there. So I think you've had a wonderful insight. And you be amused at the one who wants to be entertained by story. Story helps give us meaning. So therefore, it's very important. Somewhere on Dharma Wisdom, probably there, or else on Dharma Seed, there's a whole talk of mine on the wise and unwise use of story. How we sometimes I say narrative. I can't remember the name of the talk, but it should be there in one of those two, unless somebody's deleted it. So it's all about this use of and how we story gives us meaning. It gives us context. It it organizes us, and yet we get dependent on it. When in any given moment, we don't need it that way. You were fine when you were there, right? That's. Yes. So it turns out we don't need it as much as we think we need it. It's something that we have, that for positive reasons, we developed. And again, that could be for survival reasons. Doesn't mean that's a great story, but it was for some reason that was necessary. And then we just habituate into it. And some of us become really great at story. So you can really entertain yourself all day long with story. So thanks for that. Did anything about practice, about your sitting practice, come up around that? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just curious. Okay. Well, this gets to be the question of using the microphone or not, and this came up yesterday, and I guess we decided we couldn't use it or something. All right, we'll try that for next. We won't go back, but if next person, if there's any. Do you like this exploration? Why do you like it? Somebody tell me why you like it. So can you be kind to those and have compassion for those ugly feelings?
I don't understand that yet.
So, yeah, so that's one to understand. Let the compassion flow towards yourself, and it may be more easy for you to have compassion for those people that have offended you in some way. And the person who's most hurt by the closed heart is ourselves. You know, because they're not hurt by it in the same way we are. And so the letting loose is for our benefit, and then they get the benefit of our benefit insofar as it goes. But certainly we get that benefit. And so, and to see, okay, there's no flow, there's no movement, then the stillness has a tension in it, you see. Your heart has a tension in it around that unforgiving. Because you're having to stop a natural flowing of the heart energy. And so it's got a tension in it. Now, some of that is necessary and happens to us in life. And they're difficult people for me and our world right now. And I will feel tension. But I also watch if that tension grows. I'm the one who becomes dispirited. They go right on doing the stupid things that were upsetting me in the first place. And so we really start to understand the science of the mind heart. It's really lawful. It's not random. So good for you. Someone else, why are you in just, please? Will you stand up? This, if everybody's wanting to hear, you could even. Feel very rested? Excellent. She feels very rested. So when we are in coming into this stillness like this, stillness is a very restful place. If you can find this on your own, if you can find just some little practice that brings you stillness, to letting go and so forth, please. Excellent. So that's like this. So she was, we'd talked about her experiences, she said. And then someone else had the same thing about story, just as the lady earlier had this story. Our story, oftentimes, we don't, when we're being mindful, But we aren't being mindful on what is the predominant experience. And I don't feel as though we necessarily as a teaching community speak about this enough. So it can be very difficult to know what is really the predominant experience. So someone was saying in this group that they were having some heartbreak, and they were aware of as they were going through the day of the heartbreak. And then at some point they discovered that, oh, underneath that heartbreak is the aversion to the heartbreak. And as soon as they were with the aversion, all of that tension left. Why? Because the predominant experience that was determining the moment was the aversion, not the heartbreak. Can you follow that? It's not so easy. Joseph Goldstein tells this story about being all going around and around about something for 5 days, and Sharon asking him a question about, well, were you mindful of, and bang, 5 days just disappearing in a moment. And this was during a time he was practicing on retreat. And it's not so easy to know. The more we do inquiry, the more, and again, not like trying to find it everywhere, but just, okay, what else is present here? What else is present here? And so we name it. That's this naming things is so useful in that way. Again, sometimes for some people, someone else's experience, and then we will. The movement of time is so fast, it's very hard to be in the here and now, because it's fast and we need to reorient moment to moment. That makes it hard. But the momentum of movement alone can carry us past the moment before we can show up for it. So this learning stillness, learning to interrupt this, I call the pause, I used to use this word pause all the time, but then Google started using the pause and the work they do. So now I talk about the interrupt. We're interrupting the momentum. Movement has momentum. It just keeps going. So when we pause for a moment, when we create an interrupt of that momentum, it allows a reconfiguration. And those of you who've been on retreat at Cloud Mountain with me have heard me say many a time about a 30-second interrupt is enough to interrupt. That's not very long. 3 seconds gives you a little chance to catch your breath. But 30 seconds can really, like, oh. And then 3 minutes, you can really reconnect to yourself in 3 minutes. You can catch up with yourself in 3 minutes, in my experience. If there's a big trauma or something like that, where you've really gotten lost, or you really got so embarrassed, or you got this huge disappointment, then a 30-minute time, I'm just giving you big broad strokes of these things. 30 minutes, then you can, when you're practicing, 30 minutes of practice can really go a long way in terms of coming back together in this way. So it's not that the movement is bad, it's when the movement is out of balance, when there's nothing weighing the other side, when there's not a balance to our lives. It's like we're way over here, going on in life from way over here. And so therefore one moment reinforces the other moment because we're so out of balance in the first place. Whereas the stillness of just this moment, just still, like it's like a gift, because I just ride in. I don't have to do all the setting up of the circumstances for favorable conditions. They are my favorable condition. And so insofar as I can be of use to you in that way, hooray. So we're closed now, and we're going to close with the term of metis that I use is call and response. And in this time, before we do that, you first get yourself in position of being comfortable in the metta. I'm going to ask everyone to name someone out loud that we to include in our metta. We're here as Sangha. And in this radiating metta sense, it's radiating out in all directions. And all we've got that going for us. But who would you have us touch with our joint metta? Just who would you have, for whatever reasons? It could be because they're hurting, but it could also be just because they're a long ways off and you miss them. So just take a moment. Someone that really you open to easily, not as duty, but as it's you're enthusiastic. You have enthusiasm. I'll start saying the name out loud and with some force. Andrew, our appreciation of one another because we together allowed this day to happen. And for those who've been brought into the room, although I felt like some people didn't speak, those brought into the room, we offer this well-wishing, this kindness, this friendliness, this ever-flowing love. May you be safe from internal and external harm. Out loud. May you be safe from internal harm. Really feel what that would mean, to be safe from internal and external harm. To feel safe in that way. Use words that you know what they mean if the conditions arose. Don't use words that don't really have any meaning to you. May you have a calm, clear mind and a peaceful love. May you be physically strong, healthy, and vital. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. May you experience love, joy, merit. And in our practice today, what we learn, what we experience, may it prove to be a benefit in a wholesome way in our lives, in the lives of all those that we care for, and in the lives of all of those with whom we come in contact in any manner. Any merit that's arisen from our practice this day, we offer that merit to the benefit of all beings without preference, demand, or discrimination. May all beings find their way to the quiet. Boy, there's good chi in the room, let me tell you. Wow. Wow. There's sign-up sheets for my to be on my mailing list if you want to be on the mailing list, which I probably send out something 6 times a year or something about something or another. And also there's a list of events, if there's still any sheets left back there, events mostly Dharma things, but maybe some of my change and transition weekends that I do. So I do 2 things. I teach Dharma and I teach what's called change and transition weekends for various age groups. And then I work with individuals in change and transitions. I try not to have working with individuals overlap with people I work with in Dharma, but occasionally I do that. But I've now done a whole training of which there are 3 people in the room today who are now strategists themselves in terms of change and transition, to do that, to tell you about that. And to say that in 2020, there's going to be a new training for people to become a strategist. So, but anyway, just I mention all of that, and just so that I'm not leaving somebody out that would feel hurt by being left out. Thank you for your great enthusiasm today and hanging in there. And move around for a few minutes before you get in the car, please. We've been in some spaces, and you want to really honor that. Yeah, it makes a difference. Your senses can be altered. So even though we've not been in total silence for 3 days or something like that, you can still be altered. So get back in the rhythm of this world, the world, the movement, the rapid movement of that around you before you go get in your car. Most of you I'll see tomorrow.